Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. Well, we're going to be talking about a subject today that I think is absolutely one of the favorite subjects of just about anybody I know, and that is the subject of chocolate. And we have a wonderful guest today, Mr. Jim Walsh, who is on the line with us. I understand, Jim, that you're in Mexico.
I am. Down in the Yucatan. Just got done talking to a number of Mayan cocoa growers, dating back to, their family dates back for about 2,000 years growing cocoa.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Well, I have been so looking forward to doing this program because chocolate is an amazing ingredient. And you, as an entrepreneur, have traveled quite a unique journey. Give us a little bit of your background as a businessman. I mean, chocolate wasn't the focus of your life before 1992.
No, in fact, I was in Chicago at the time. I owned a number of companies, advertising, incentive companies, some printing companies. I was on a workaholic kind of fast track. I got a little burnt out. We just had our first child, and I said to my wife's father, let's go to Chile for some whitewater rafting. And he said, what a great idea. And the second day on the river up in the Chilean Andes, I got into a bad boating accident and nearly died. And the next year and a half, had to spend time thinking about what kind of life I wanted to lead. And that really led to the chocolate business. That was sort of a siren's call that pulled me towards Hawaii and this amazing food called chocolate.
Well, you are really an inspiration, I think, to anyone that has entrepreneurial interests, because you sort of set a mark in 1992. Now, HVC, that's Hawaiian Vintage Chocolate, if I am correct.
That's correct.
And it was the first and only grower of the cacao bean in the United States. Is that also correct?
That's correct.
Give us a little history about this unusual company in Hawaii. I would not have thought that it would have been, you know, one of the optimum places for this to grow. What island is this on?
Well, we started, it's a big island that we ended up primarily on, but the saga sort of starts right after this accident and head injury and year and a half to recover of deciding where in the world we wanted to raise our family. And we decided on, after a sort of exhaustive search, on Hawaii. And I knew what I wanted to do was produce food that people really wanted, you know, something that was a part of their life and made their lives better. And we searched the island wide looking for something that was perfect for this and got frustrated. We gave up on our dream. We came back to Chicago. And a chance meeting with the chairman of the board of Hershey Foods, I turned to him and I said, Dick, Dick Silverman was his name at the time, I said, Dick, do cocoa beans grow in Hawaii? And he said, no, but we'd like them to grow here in America. We could control supply. We'd have better security for our source of supply. And I said, well, would you be my technical partner? Not knowing a thing about the cocoa bean. I didn't know whether it was a bush or a tree or grew out of the ground or what it was. And he said, yes, we will. And I said, say no more. I'll put the venture together. And I got my dream, which was to raise my family in Hawaii.
That is phenomenal. Just from a conversation.
With a question. One question, really.
And the conversation. And he says, we need something like this. America, listen, this is what we need to be aware of today. This is something that you've done, and here you've got this company. Now, from what I understand, you decided to pattern the growth of this, because nobody had done this in the United States before.
Right.
You decided to pattern this after the wine industry. Tell us what the pattern is that you copied from the wine industry?
Well, I always tell people in any food product you eat, three things determine flavor. Actually, four now, but three that are out of your control. The first is genetics. You know, what kind of rootstock and crop are you using? The second is the environment you grow it in. So Hawaii obviously has this phenomenal environment. And then the third is what you do with it after you pick it or harvest it, post-harvest handling. And those are the three things that the food manufacturer controls. The fourth thing, which we'll get into later, I think, our intentional chocolate, is what you bring to the table as a consumer, what kind of intention you have when you eat your food. But those three things we could control in Hawaii. We developed, I went around the world and collected genetics of cacao. We bred out a number of trees, and it takes 7 years for the trees to actually start to bear fruit. So I actually started this in 86 before we had chocolate in 92. And and along the way, you find out what environment's best for the tree, you know, whether it's a rocky soil or a clay soil, and whether the wind comes up in the morning or the afternoon. And all those things affect flavors. So our concept was it'd be different estates on the Hawaiian Islands with different flavors. And that's pretty much what manifested 7 years later.
Now, here you are with this cycle that you go through, where you're doing all of this research, you're doing all of this. Now, again, to me, it's significant because we may have a listener that says, I want to go into a business of my own, I want to do something, and we're in a very serious economically challenging period in the United States, and it's also affecting people around the world. So I think your example is a very, very significant one, and one that carries so much merit, because you had this timetable that you knew you were going to work with, your association with the gentleman of Hershey's Chocolate, you all had to take this into context. Your risk factor, many people would probably have looked at it and said, why? You know, we have all these other environments.
Well, sometimes I ask that question because, you know, like anything else, Donna, you know, it goes in cycles. There's some really good years and some really lean years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in the lean years, you sort of forget your intentions. And, you know, one of the reasons we started this new company called Intentional Chocolate is that your intentions really matter. It's the fourth dimension, if you will. You know, you have time and space, and you have, you know, also your intention towards things. So that's what gives dimensionality towards any project. So if you're in the lean times and you forget your dream or your intention, it's very easy to lose your way and start over and do something different. And I really wanted to raise my kids in Hawaii. Hawaii mm-hmm. was a beautiful island to me. And then once I got involved with planting these trees are living creatures. And, you know, they have a certain magnetism to them. So they never let me really forget what I was about. Even though, you know, there was a period of time I was wondering, what am I doing? 7 years spending money before I ever see dollar one come back to me.
Mm-hmm. But as you said, the vision was bigger than the frustration, and you had people that believed in what you were doing because they understood the process. I think sometimes that is what is so aggravating, because there is like this 30-second mentality. You're supposed to have an instantaneous result.
Right.
And many times it will take years and years. I've known people that have had to wait 20 years, 30 years before they've been able to have the intention, as you so well describe it, realized.
Well, you hit it right on the head, because when my other partner, when I came to Hawaii, I needed somebody with land. And so I went to the biggest sugar company called AMFAC in Hawaii at the time and said, you're going out of sugar and you have all this acreage that's not going to have a crop in it. Would you like to be my partner? And they said yes. They said, that sounds like a great idea. And the Chinese fellow who'd been in agriculture a long time, he said to me, he said, Jim, you know how long it takes to really start an industry, don't you? And I said, no. He said, well, if you look at soybeans or you look at corn or any agricultural industry, it's about 25 years. And I said, ah, yeah, Harry, I'll have this done in 4. You know, that's when I talk about lean times. You know, that's when you get your comeuppance as a young smart aleck guy who doesn't know what he's talking about, because now 25 years later, there's an industry in Hawaii that's not just me. There's other growers and people that are doing it, But it all spawned from that moment, and that's really what I wanted. I really wanted to spawn an industry in Hawaii, and I laugh at Harry's past since then, but I'd like to go back to him and say, hey, Harry, you're right. 25 yes. years is the number.
Yes, and that, I think, is so hard because so much is so instantaneous today. We have instant messaging, and so we think that this is what's going to happen with everything, and it doesn't happen that way.
Well, for me, the common thread through all this was being pulled towards something. I really had a sense of, you know, not quite sure what I was getting into all the time. I'm down here in the Yucatan talking to Mayans, and we're in the middle of starting probably the world's largest organic cocoa farm here in the Yucatan. And all around this wisdom of the Mayans, who really believe that cacao or chocolate as we know it in America really is contains a message for peace and harmony for mankind. And, you know, I don't know if it does really. You know, when I eat it, it does. When I'm with the trees, it does. But, you know, they have this culture that goes back 4,000 years of growing this crop.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sacred thing to them. So all the way along in my in chocolate career, you know, I've been sort of like asking that question to Dick Zimmerman. I've been sort of the guy naively asking these questions, and then doors open. So, you know, for me, it's hard not to walk through the door.
I agree. And I think that that's marvelous. Now, let's talk a little bit, because I've tasted the chocolate. And the chocolate is absolutely incredible. And, of course, Valentine's Day is coming up. And so this is something you see blasted all over the television. You hear it all over radio. I'm talking about it. But to me, chocolate is sort of like the staff of life. How can one live without it? And I know there's a lot of people listening that might chuckle and say, yeah, that's in my home camp, too. That's how I feel about it. But there's chocolate and there's chocolate. You'll have some chocolate that has a lot of wax or various substances in it, but yours doesn't. Yours has absolutely no preservatives, and you just have these wonderful flavors. Your raspberry filling with the dark chocolate, which is my favorite, is incredibly good, and there is this wonderful sensory experience when you taste the chocolate that with the raspberry as the filling is put together, it's just amazing. It's one of the best I've ever had.
Well, thanks. You know, those raspberries are grown in Michigan and by a farmer who thinks a lot about his raspberries. And I always say that's the difference in really good flavors and really good sensation from food is, you know, we obviously sell our chocolate, Hawaiian Vintage anyway, we sell to a lot of the world's finest chefs. And, you know, when I go to Emerald's restaurant, who is a big user of it, or Bobby Flay, or even Daniel Ballou in New York, I can tell when they're in the kitchen and when they're not in the kitchen because the quality of food is significantly different. And I don't mean the flavor. I mean the energetic quality of the food. And I think what you're tasting in that raspberry is not only this intentional chocolate, which is the Hawaiian vintage plus the intention of our meditators, but also this intention of this raspberry grower in Michigan who does a beautiful job.
Well, one of the things that you're doing that I think is so very, very significant is that you are environmentally conscious, and you, through these 25 years of involvement with the development of your company and of your products, have been very, very aware, as are all of the people involved with your staff, as to not using pesticides, being aware of how you grow, the quality. You have a standard of quality. But there's this other ingredient that you add, and it's the ingredient of intention, hence the title Intentional Chocolate. Tell us how this concept came together and what it is that you do with this chocolate, because your flyer, your brochure is absolutely great, and let's talk a little bit about the science of intention.
Well, the how I got there is, again, getting pulled through one of these doors. I was, we had a joint venture with PepsiCo in the early 2000s that was putting out the first nutritionally beneficial chocolate, or we called it a better for you chocolate. And, you know, chocolate was never used before as a product that delivered better health. It was always seen as a decadence and a not good for you kind of thing. And I just know dealing with that cocoa bean that that's nature's perfect health food. So I was on a big kick to try and get America to change its view towards chocolate. I got a call from a gentleman. We put out a sugar-free chocolate, and got a call from a gentleman at 7:30 in the morning who told me I saved the lives of his future grandchildren because his daughter was able to stay on a diet for 6 months because of our sugar-free bar. And because of that, she lost enough weight to get rid of polycystic ovary disease around her ovaries. Her ovaries are fine. She's going to have grandchildren. And I laughed. I hung up the phone. I said, thank you, and I put down the phone, and I thought, and I drove home and thought about the responsibility. Probably about 30 million Americans have eaten products that we've made in our companies. And you never think about the intention you put into that food, that that might have an impact on somebody's life like that. And I got this whole download about, you know, ways of looking at food that goes beyond biochemical. And so the next 2 years, I spent a lot of time and energy researching energetic qualities of food that go beyond just carbs, proteins, fats.
Mm-hmm.
And I came across a research that had been done at Stanford for the last 15 years where the focus of long-term meditators holding an intention for a particular product can change its nature. The experiments that they've done, that they've published, are they can lower the pH of water, for instance. They can make fruit flies grow quicker in a petri dish. They can make liver cells excrete more liver protein. And so I thought, well, if it can work for that, why can't it work for food? So we solicited a head researcher of the Institute of Noetic Sciences in California. We got monks, Tibetan monks, who were trained with the Dalai Lama to meditate into some of our chocolate, holding an intention that said whoever eats this chocolate will manifest a well-being, both physical and mental, especially energy and vigor, and for the benefit of mankind, because the Buddhists are a big on it. You just don't do it for your personal self, you do it for everyone. And so we had them meditate into one. We had a shaman who was here from China do his technique of focusing on another batch of chocolate. Then we have a primitive recording device that actually captures these meditative patterns and broadcasts it and conditions the product. And we tested that with human volunteers over 3 days. And the control group versus the three groups that had the embedded chocolate, the difference between them in terms of well-being by the third day was a 67% increase in those that ate the embedded chocolate. So we had a double-blind, placebo-based, controlled experiment that was very significant about how these meditators actually affect mind affects matter. And that's intentional chocolate.
Now, I know that you have been written up in a couple of publications, and
yeah.
The Institute of Noetic Sciences is a phenomenal organization, and it's, you know, it's the HESA Institute that also was a part of this.
Yes.
And Dr. Dean Radden had an article that was put together that described what he did, and he said that he's really not into doing things like this very often. But he said, there is something that happens that seems different when food is cooked by someone that you love. And almost anybody I know will say that. In fact, you can go to someone's home and you'll say, gee, this person really isn't a good cook. And maybe they have copied everything exactly from a recipe book, and it just, I don't know, it doesn't have it. You go to someone else's home, they serve scrambled eggs and toast, and you think that's the best scrambled eggs and toast you've ever eaten. And it is the difference of intention. There is that energy that is transmuted in the food, and I've seen that, you know, over the years. And just what you said about Emeril, about other people, that is what I call that invisible magic that gives an extra oomph to food. And so this is absolutely amazing, but he also talked about the study, and he said that there were other studies he was aware of where intention made a difference, but as you mentioned, it involved water, but also hands-on healing and other things. So he had quite an extensive interview with a particular publication, and that can be found online. People can go to your website, and you can give that information out, and we'll, you know, they can check all of this out that we're sharing today. But with you, here you are, you have this phenomenal project, and you say this is something that for you, you're really wanting to expand with. Now, you've got this opportunity to be in with a culture of people, the Mayans, that have, as you so aptly said, 4,000 years of history regarding the cacao bean. And here you've got this wonderful opportunity that's looming in front of you. With this evolving, you're going to be providing jobs for people, be able to bring something brand new into their environment. Where do you see your company going? How do you see the company reaching out?
Well, that, as you so aptly described, you know, that the emotion, the focus, the intention that, that people bring to whatever they do, whether it's a great chef or your mother cooking for you, is the same thing that can be brought into the preparation of food. You know, we we as Americans consume an average of 1,800 pounds of food a year. And of that, we eliminate 90% of it. So our body... Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Our body really only uses 10% of the food that we eat. And the reason is because we're like gold miners going through tons of gravel to find one nugget of gold. And what's happened over the years is that because of the things that we've had to put in our food and the way we distribute our food, the food has increased in volume, but not in energetic value. And so our goal was first to prove, our proof of concept was, can we change the nature of food after it's been manufactured? And that's what this intentional chocolate experiment showed, resounding yes. We have a much larger study going on now that you'll hear about in probably 6 months, where the results look very good as well. And so we thought, well, if we could do that after the fact, what could we do if we started at the very ground level and preparing food, particularly in this area of chocolate, but we're also doing some other, you know, vanilla and some healing herbs. But if we really bring intention to it from the planning stage, we incorporate the wisdom of these wisdom cultures that, like the Mayans, who were the fathers of cacao, and we put this together in a mindful project. What could that chocolate taste like? And what could that mean for those millions of people who are going to put it in their mouths and actually get themselves tuned? Now, every piece of food has information for us. So when we eat it, it changes the way our genes actually express themselves. And we're finding with the research in chocolate that what chocolate does is it expresses these proanthocyanins that are in your body, these antioxidants that are in your body that make your cells strive towards health, vigor, and life. And so we feel that through a delicious product like chocolate, we can actually extend people's lives and make the quality of their lives better by just being mindful from the beginning, by setting our intention in the soil, in the trees, in those jobs you talked about. There's about 2,000 Mayans down here that'll get a job from this. And so it's a, this is a labor of love for me. And this is really an experiment I can't wait to see the results of.
Well, it's very exciting, and I was so thrilled when one of your associates contacted me. Not only did I get to taste the chocolate, which was absolutely phenomenal, and I shared it with my husband, and he just said, this is the best chocolate I've had. He said, it's just really, really good. So because there's no preservatives in it, it is just absolutely as pure a chocolate product as you could get, no herbs, no additives of any kind. I want to ask you a question about the Dalai Lama. Apparently, your chocolate was the very first chocolate he had ever tasted.
Very cute story. We had this 92 you talk about. The Tibetans actually have a monastery in the southern tip of the Big Island of Hawaii, in a really beautiful Eden-like place called Wood Valley. And I'd gotten contacted by the abbot of it, who said they wanted to be cocoa growers for us. And I thought, that's a great idea. You know, I'm thinking Dom Perignon turning the champagne bottles. I'm pictures of these monks raking our cocoa beans. I thought it'd be a great bar to make. Well, it turned out in talking to them that they hadn't anticipated the work behind what it takes to actually grow cacao and be a farmer. But he happened to mention to me, His Holiness is going to be here in 30 days, and he's never tasted chocolate. Would you make him some of your Hawaiian chocolate in some form that you think he'd like? And he'd be happy to eat it. And I was at the same time we were blessing are third generations of trees. You know, trees are bred, takes about 5 to 7 years to get it to a generation. We kind of shortened it, we're on the third generation. I thought, well, it'd be kind of neat to have him bless those trees as well as have our chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
So we made a chocolate brownie that was unlike the usual brownies you have. This is more chocolate than it was anything else. And very cute. The food was taken up to him. He came down holding this plate with just crumbs on it. And he saw me and he handed some plate to me. He goes, Mr. Walsh, I think this chocolate will bring great happiness to mankind. And, you know, we all laughed. And then he blessed me, gave me a silk scarf. And then he came out and he did the same thing. He tied a silk scarf around the mother and father tree. And he was very sweet, very gentle, very loving about the whole thing. And I thought, well, how neat is that? That, you know, we were able to do this. And, you know, a little sidebar to the story, those two trees I took back to our farm to be planted out. And we had changed farm management and the trees got lost. And I was gone for about 3 months and came back. And these trees have been in pots. And when you're in pots, they have to be watered. Otherwise, they die within
mm-hmm.
weeks. They had been out in the field, not watered, not tended to. So I came back, and I thought, oh, man, you know, they're going to be dead. And I found them. Not only were they alive, they were blossoming about a year before they should. And I laughed. I said, well, whatever he has, he's channeling something that's pretty special. So that was the generation of trees that are now producing the chocolate that goes into that intentional chocolate you're eating.
Oh, that is a fabulous, fabulous story. That is a treat. That is a wonderful treat to hear. Well, Jim, when you need to give out the website regarding intentional chocolate, Valentine's Day is just around the corner, and people can order product. They have all kinds of options. You've got some wonderful, wonderful packages, and the packaging is gorgeous. It's absolutely beautiful.
Thank you. Well, you know, it's it was this concept of, we call him the little dude, but he's sort of a meditating character who carries that intentional thought for us in symbolic form. And he adorns every bag, every box that goes out, because he represents the intention we have for the people who eat this, that will bring calmness, energy, and order into their lives. And intentionalchocolate.com, just like the two words together, or you can Google us. We're all over the place on the internet, and you know what better? You know, I think Valentine's is probably my favorite holiday for chocolate, particularly this chocolate, because what better way to say I love you to somebody than to say it with intention that you're actually going to make their lives more orderly, more calm, more energetic. You know, I gave it to my wife, and you know, I'm down in Mexico right now. She's back up in the mainland, and I gave it to her as part of a Valentine's gift. So I'm a believer in the product, and I just hope people, I think there's still plenty of time to order it and get it there in time, so I hope they'll enjoy it.
Absolutely, and one of the charming aspects of your website is that little symbol, the little Buddha, that actually will bow. Every time you shift a page, you've got that up in the corner someplace, and I think that it's an animation that's just absolutely charming. IntentionalChocolate.com is a website that you want to be able to put up as one of your favorites. Not only is this delicious chocolate, but the story behind this American businessman who had such a critical accident that turned his life around and ended up being directed towards this passion that is so meaningful to him, really, I think, is an inspiration for all of us. And, Jim, again, it's intentionalchocolate.com. They'll be able to go and get whatever they want from the company. It is right there and available, which I think is just fabulous. I want to thank you so much for being my guest today. I know you're in Mexico and you're having a fabulous time. And I just wish you the best of luck.
Well, Donna, thanks for the time. I hope I answered all your questions. And remind me again, are you a dark chocolate lover or a milk chocolate lover?
Dark chocolate.
Well, send some your way. We have a new, as I call it, a new vintage coming out in about 2 weeks, and I'll be sure to get you some.
Well, Jim, this has been absolutely marvelous. Again, thank you so much for your time. And
you're
do welcome. Stay on the line. We're taking a break, And I'll be talking with Jim for just a moment. We'll have some messages to play, and then we're going to come back and have more good things for you right here on The Donna Sebo Show. Remember, chocolate is cheaper than therapy, and you don't need an appointment. You got it right there, ready to go. IntentionalChocolate.com. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be right back.
Join us at the 7th Annual Conscious Life Expo Conference and Film Festival, February 13th through 16th at the LAX Hilton, 5711 West Century Boulevard, Los Angeles. We are bringing together cutting-edge speakers including David Icke, Sonia Hoquette, celebrity and musician David Carradine, Danyon Brinkley, George Norrie, Sean David Morton, Vashali, and many more. Visit www.consciouslifeexpo.com or call the box office 800-367-5777 for discounted tickets.
Pete Smith here with OrthoTab Health Shoes. These funky-looking shoes, invented by a medical doctor, will make you feel better. Who has time to work out these days? Wear our sandals or clogs around the house, go shopping, wear them on the treadmill. You'll burn extra calories. You'll tone and trim the legs, thighs, lower abdomen, rear end, your love handle area. You'll simply feel better. Check them out on the web at orthotebb.net.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, TTAP.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome back to An Hour of Mind Power. Here are the toll-free telephone numbers if you'd like to call in and chat with me, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Again, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. If you want to call in and chat with me, all I need is your first name or your initial, and I'm glad to give you whatever insights that I am able to perceive for you. Also, just remember, you can ask a question, too, about anything you like. No games, no gimmicks. Just give me a call at 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. And I want to thank those of you who have been sending me wonderful stories. I'm going to be sharing a couple of them today. But there's just so much information out there. And the miracle of the Internet is that we're able to communicate so effectively and so well and in such a timely manner. It is absolutely amazing to me. I am literally amazed almost every day because of what we are able to do with the technology that we have. Also, I want to remind you, I am going to be in the Los Angeles area. I'm going to be speaking at the Conscious Life Expo, which is right there at the Los Angeles Hilton. I'm going to be speaking on Friday the 13th, this Friday. It's coming up so rapidly. And I'm going to be talking about mind power. So if you're going to be attending that event, do let me know. Come on by the booth, which is 537, and say hello. I would love to be able to meet you. I'm also going to be doing many consultations there, and I'm really looking forward to it because there are just so many wonderful, wonderful people that I always meet no matter where I go. And again, if you want to call and talk with me today, one-on-one, 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756. Now, I received this wonderful story from Gail, and I thought this is so significant. Now, if you've ever been in New York City, you know all about the subway, and you'll often find people there playing instruments. New York is a phenomenal city. There's entertainment on the streets that are just, it's just absolutely amazing, and it's entertaining. Well, there was a man who was sitting at the metro station, and he was down in Washington, D.C., and like New York, there often will be people performing. New York is magical with entertainment, and Seattle is magical with entertainment because there are all these street performers. Well, in Washington, D.C., this gentleman started playing his violin, and it was a January morning, and it's always very cold in Washington, D.C. during January. He played six Bach pieces for about 45 minutes. Now, during that time, since it was rush hour, it was calculated that thousands of people went through the station, most of them going to work. Now, 3 minutes went by, and there was a middle-aged man who noticed there was this musician playing his violin, and he slowed his pace and stopped for a few seconds and then hurried up to meet his scheduled, you know, train ride. And then a minute later, the violinist received a whole dollar, a dollar tip. A woman threw the money in the till and without stopping continued to walk. Someone else, a few minutes later, leaned against the wall to listen to this wonderful, wonderful violin player. But the fellow just suddenly looked at his watch and started to walk again. He was going to be late for work if he didn't get moving. The one who paid the most attention was a three-year-old little boy. Now, his mother was holding onto his hand, and, of course, he's just toddling along, as little ones love that age always do with their moms, and he was being hurried. But this child stopped to look at the violinist and just stopped. He was making his mother stop. Well, you can imagine, she was in a hurry, and finally she got him going, and the child continued to walk, but he kept turning his head and looking back at the violinist. Now, this action was repeated over and over again by children. Not adults, but by children. All of their parents, without exception, forced them to move on. Now, in the 45 minutes this musician played, only six adults stopped and stayed for a while. About 20 of them gave him money, but continued to walk their normal pace. Now, he collected all of $32 for this 45 minutes. When he finished the playing of his six pieces of Bach, silence took over. He was gone. It was as if he had never been there at all. No one applauded, nor was there any kind of recognition from anyone that had been around him. Now, at the time, nobody knew that the violinist that had the baseball cap on and playing so beautifully was Joshua Bell. Now, Joshua Bell is one of the best musicians in the world. He played one of the most intricate pieces ever written with a violin worth $3.5 million. You heard me right. Now, 2 days before his playing in the subway, tickets for Joshua Bell's performance at a theater in Boston were sold out and the seats averaged $100 each. Now, this is a true story. Joshua Bell was playing incognito in this D.C. metro station. This had been all set up and planned for by the Washington Post because it was part of a social experiment about perception, taste, and priorities that people have. The outlines were, in a commonplace environment in an inappropriate hour, do we perceive beauty? Do we stop to appreciate it? Do we recognize the talent in an unexpected context? Now, this is what was observed. One of the possible conclusions from the observation from this experiment could be, if we don't have a moment to stop and listen to one of the best musicians in the world playing the best music ever, how many other things are we missing? I thought the story was an extremely poignant one. It is very difficult, I think, for us to be mindful of what we are seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, sensing. It really is important. And sometimes, I think in our world, we're bombarded with so much stuff that we tune out a good 99.9% of what's going on around us. Now, someone might say, well, Donna, if you were in the metro in D.C., you know, you've got all of this activity, and I've been at the metro in D.C. But you know what? My husband and I, when we were in the metro, and it's just who we are, we strike up conversations with people. We would look, and we would see all kinds of things that were going on. We were aware of soldiers that came in. We were aware of some musicians that were there. We had conversations with people while we were waiting for our metro train unit to come to take us to wherever our destination was going to be. And I think that we're very fortunate because we feel wherever we are, if we do that, whether we're standing in line at the grocery store or we're in a metro station in New York, D.C., Boston, Los Angeles, it doesn't make any difference where you are. You're given a gift. And it's the gift of that present moment. And you find out some of the most wonderful things from people. And something else I've found is that when you open up and you talk to people and you don't act like a stoic statue, it is amazing what can be shared. Now, once in a while, you may find someone that's going to be a little abrupt. But you see, let's go back to the intention. What is your intention? If your intention is to be open, if your intention is to be friendly, if your intention is to be curious, believe it or not, it will be recognized by someone else. Because so many times people are so closed off that the one thing they want more than anything else is to be able to have some communication, to be able to know that there's someone that is, one, open to talking, and two, that they can feel safe with. So carrying the theme of intention from what I was discussing with my guest earlier, who's working with chocolate. This can be carried over in so many ways in our lives. Here was Joshua Bell, and nobody recognized him. He wasn't in a tuxedo. Just beautiful music. How many times do you hear something or see something beautiful and take time to appreciate it? So maybe you could have an intention for the day, and make a note of it on your calendar, maybe on your daily planner. Have the intention of recognizing beauty when it's around you. And it can come in so many different forms, sizes, shapes, and colors. But intention is something that you have to be open to. It is that intention that is going to open the world for you. It is that intention that is going to enable you to be able to reach the dreams that you have within yourself. And I think it's marvelous. And I want to thank Gail for sending that to me because I just thought it was right in harmony with everything that we have been sharing with you today right here on the Donna Sebo Show. Oh, by the way, I have got a recipe. Oh, I've got to find it. It is a recipe for raspberry cake that is totally made without sugar. I had it right under my fingertips. We're getting ready to go on a break. I've got to find it. This would be a wonderful, wonderful dessert to fix for Valentine's. Actually, any time is a good time to work with chocolate. But I thought you would really, really enjoy it. So after the break, have that pad of paper handy and a pen. And if you don't want to call me, then you may want to write down this wonderful recipe that will not only satisfy your taste buds, but, I found it. It will just do good things for all levels of your life. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. Don't forget, you can give me a buzz if you want, 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Interested in UFOs, the paranormal, predictions, prophecies, and psychics? Then join us along with David Icke, Sean David Morton, Jim Mars, Richard Hoagland, Danion Brinkley, Sonia Coquette, and many more at the 7th Annual Conscious Life Expo and Film Festival, February 13th to 16th at the LAX Hilton. Call the box office at 1-800-367-5777 or visit ConsciousLifeExpo.com for more information and discounted tickets.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95, plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
This is Pete Smith for OrthoTeb Health Shoes. OrthoTebs are completely heelless, invented by a doctor, and you'll burn 3 times the calories of regular walking in our sandals, 2 times the calories of regular walking in our clogs. They help you tone and trim the entire leg, thighs, buns, lower abs, and love handle area. They offer symptom improvement for people with plantar fasciitis and low back pain. Check them out on the web at www.orthoteb.net.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. If you'd like to chat with me, give me a buzz at 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. And that is a worldwide number. Now, before I go into the recipe, this is a flourless raspberry chocolate cake. Yum. Okay, tomorrow we're going to be talking with Bob Brenner. We're going to be talking about the Valentine Treasury. Now, this is a publication that has so much information about this holiday that we just absolutely thoroughly enjoy. I have to share with you for a moment, I was listening to someone's commentary that was supposed to be, I thought, an intelligent commentary, and what I heard was just absolutely beyond me, because it was a commentary on how they think Valentine's Day is just such a stupid holiday, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I thought, isn't it interesting how people will get on tangents or will take particular positionings here, because the holiday celebration, Valentine's Day, you don't have to participate in any of the commercialism if you don't want. But it's nice to be able to have something that is so colorful and gives you an opportunity to express your feelings, which you might express every day of your life to that very special person that's so meaningful to you. But there's just something whimsical and magical about Valentine's Day. So we're going to be finding out about a lot of that. It's history tomorrow on the show. And then on Thursday, which is Lincoln's birthday, we're going to be talking about the Lincoln family. Charles Lockman is my guest, and we are going to be getting the inside scoop on the legacy of the Lincoln family that is it was absolutely amazing to me when I read through the material. It was hard for me to believe all of the various points of information and that there actually was the last Lincoln that eventually passed away, and we're going to have all that information about the Lincoln family on a Thursday. And then on Friday, because I am participating in the Conscious Life Expo, we will be playing the best of Donna. We're going to be hearing again Eric Pearl, who is going to be one of the speakers at the Expo. We'll hear that interview again, so you'll be able to keep up to date with everything that's going on. So that is what's happening on the Donna Sebo Show. Okay, got that pad of paper and pen handy? Hey, here is a recipe, and this is perfect, just perfect, for that wonderful, wonderful celebration that's coming up on Saturday, Valentine's Day. Actually, it's a good thing for any time, but we'll just make it sort of special. Now, here are the ingredients. You're going to need a third of a cup plus one tablespoon of unsalted butter. A third of a cup plus one tablespoon of unsalted butter, and that is going to be divided up. You want this at room temperature, by the way. You need 2 1-ounce squares of bittersweet chocolate. 2 1-ounce squares of bittersweet chocolate. 2 1-ounce squares of unsweetened chocolate. 2 1-ounce squares of unsweetened chocolate. 7 tablespoons of seedless red raspberry jam divided. 7 tablespoons of seedless red raspberry jam divided. 2 tablespoons of orange zest. 2 tablespoons of orange zest. 2 large eggs, 2 large eggs, 1/3 cup of sugar, 1/3 cup of sugar, 1/4 cup of orange juice, 1/4 cup of orange juice, and your garnish can be whipped cream if you like, freshly whipped, and also fresh raspberries. It'll make a wonderful garnish. But here you go. It's very, very simple. You need to have 2 ramekins. And you're going to preheat the oven to 350 degrees, and so you lightly grease those ramekins. You're going to use 1 tablespoon of the butter that you have, and then you're going to want to line the bottom of the ramekin with parchment paper. Line the bottom of the ramekin with parchment paper. Now, in a medium bowl, you're going to combine your chocolates and the remaining 1/3 cup of butter. And you want to microwave it on high in 30-second intervals, stirring between each until it's nice and melted and smooth. And then you're going to add your 4 tablespoons of your raspberry jam and the orange zest. And you just gently stir so it mixes up nicely. And you want your mixture to cool just a little bit. In a medium bowl, you're going to combine eggs and sugar, and you want to whisk those vigorously. Now whisk your egg mixture into the cooled chocolate mixture. So you want to just whisk a little bit as you're going into. Your chocolate should not be real, real hot. You want it cooled slightly, but you don't want it cold. You want it just slightly cooled, and then whisk a little bit of that egg mixture and a time in. And then you pour that batter into your 2 prepared ramekins. And you'll put them in a roasting pan. And fill the pan with water until it reaches halfway up to the outside of a ramekin. It's like a custard. This is what you're going to be doing. And then you're going to cover the roasting pan with aluminum foil, and you want to make sure that all of the edges are sealed really tightly, and you want to bake it at 350 for an hour. And then when that hour is up, you want to remove the pan from the oven, and you just leave everything as it is. You allow those 2 ramekins to cool in the water for about 15 minutes. Then you remove them from the pan and you allow them to cool at room temperature. Now, these 2 cakes should be cooled in a refrigerator for 4 hours before you serve them. Or, if you like, you can prepare them the day ahead, but they are just going to be absolutely delicious. Absolutely delicious. Now, you can then, before you're ready to serve them, you want to have the 3 remaining tablespoons of your seedless raspberry jam and the orange juice. You want to microwave that on high in 30-second intervals and stirring until it's melted, and that'll take about 1.5 minutes. And you put that sauce, that warm sauce, over your chocolate cake, and you garnish them with raspberries and a little bit of whipped cream if that tickles your taste buds. Well, if it's not tickling your taste buds just thinking about it by now, I don't know what will, but if you're a chocolate person like I am, it really, really is delicious. Well, this is Donna Seaball, and I know we're just about out of time here. I want to thank you so much for joining me today, and remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Life is a wonderful experience, and don't give up on those dreams, because your intentions will bring that dream to a reality, perhaps in a way and manner you never, ever could have imagined. And wherever you are, whatever you're doing, make your intention today to enjoy the beauty of what is around you. This is Donna Seaball. Talk with you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Seaball Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Seaball Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.